afternoon, and welcome back to We the People Radio. I know you've missed us this week. There's been a lot going on, and you wondered, what are those guys at We the People Radio doing?
Yeah, what are they going to talk about?
We were gearing up for this week. That's what we were doing. Yeah. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere and John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're getting mowing equipment in, tractors. Go up and see them. Spring is in the air. Believe it or not, we had our first fire already, which was kind of strange.
But yeah. Wahoo.
Yeah, off the point. Anyway, yeah, go up and see them.
Not really.
Full part sales and service. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Or 530-226-9226.
There you go.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
did remember
it. All in there.
I've heard it so many times, actually. I know it by heart now.
Yeah.
As far as the mowing goes, yeah, please mow early. Mow early, mow often, and then stop it when...
Yeah, it's just about...
I was going to say stop it when it dries out, but oh, that's now, so...
It's funny, I was just noticing the other day that all the roadsides are already turning brown.
Isn't that great?
And here we are, beginning of March, and...
It's brown.
They usually don't shut the mowing off until, like, June 1st.
Yeah, well...
No, I think this
year's going
to be...
Welcome to Northern California, where they shut off our water. We won't even get into that, because that's a long topic. I will tell you, however, speaking of other long topics, the sequel to Cartelville is being researched and interviewed right now. The filming hasn't been done on the ground. They're going to wait till like April or May, but they are interviewing in Shasta and Siskiyou County. And after one week in Shasta County of hearing people's stories and talking to the sheriff and all that stuff, they've decided to bring in a larger editing crew because this is a much bigger story than they thought. And
yeah, they had no idea.
Well, they kind of did, but they did the little 50 greenhouse grow down in Southern California, and it's like, oh, we dream about 50.
Well, I don't even think it was 50, was it?
Yeah, it was like 50.
50?
And they were all horrified, and I thought, uh-huh, wait till you see the 5,000 up north. That's going to blow your mind. And they haven't even seen that yet. So the Daily Caller News Foundation is working on a sequel. If you haven't seen Cartelville yet, you can find it, search it online, all one word. And they really do a very good job. And so, and then if there are those of you listening, which I don't think you would be listening to this show, but just in case you are, and you think, like, marijuana, it's not hurting anyone. Gosh, it's a personal decision. It's just like alcohol,
yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's natural.
Yeah. Wait till you see where it comes from. You're going to be shocked and amazed.
Yeah, and the additives they put on it to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Spray adhesive. So you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. I have a tab at the top of the thing right next to the archives button that says pot. Pretty straightforward. It has all our shows about that. And it has a whole bunch of pictures. And if you haven't seen the pictures yet, you should really go look. You owe it to yourself to snap your eyes wide open. It will be shocking. So our guest today, we haven't talked to him in years, and I guess I should really have gone back and looked, but his name is Patrick Wood, and he has been very, very busy. He's the leading and critical expert on sustainable development, green economy, Agenda 21, and Agenda 2030, and historic technocracy. I can't wait to talk about that since we've watched technocracy for the past 2 years, like all Patrick's dreams have come true in a bad way. He is the author of Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and the co-author of Trilaterals Over Washington, Volumes 1 and 2. He co-authored those with the late Anthony C. Sutton. So he remains the leading expert on the elitist Trilateral Commission, their policies and achievements in creating their self-proclaimed new international economic order, which is the essence of sustainable development on a global scale. He's an economist by education, a financial analyst, and a writer by profession, and an American constitutionalist by choice. He maintains a biblical worldview and has deep historical insights into the modern attacks on sovereignty, property rights, and personal freedom, all things people who listen to this show like and are interested in. Such attacks are epitomized by the implementation of UN policies such as Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, Smart Growth, another fan favorite, and in education, the widespread adoption of Common Core state standards. Lest we forget. We've been so involved in CRT, we forgot about Common Core. Wood is a frequent speaker and guest on radio shows around the nation, and his current research builds on Trilateral Commission hegemony, focusing on technocracy, transhumanism, scientism, and how these are transforming global economics, politics, and religion, because it's everywhere and in everything.
What do you hear about it? That's all you hear about.
I know, and I've linked two really good websites, just so we don't, you know, gloss over that. Technocracy.news and citizensforfreespeech.org. I have both of those up and a description of both. And I do think you should sign up for his newsletter because it's really good. And it is very newsy. And it isn't the same stuff that everybody else is writing about. Okay. Our talking is done. And Patrick Wood's going to tell us a bunch of good stuff. So take it away, Pat.
Hey, it's good to hear from you. It seems like it was just yesterday since I was on your program.
I know your voice is really familiar, but I looked back through the archives and I was like, okay, I don't know where he is. He's way back in there.
I know. You know, in the meantime, it's kind of funny that our dog is acting up. You have to excuse me for just a minute.
It's okay. We like
dogs.
Somebody
came to the bar, and she's like, oh, it came for me. It came for me.
It's for me.
Classic dog logic. And they're bringing cookies.
I'm glad she's a watchdog. I need one of these days. It's funny. I had a, thank you for the intro, but I had an interview with a guy in South Africa. It was a very sharp guy. I was really surprised that he was so up on stuff, but he did a great interview. He really knew his stuff and actually read my books. And he introduced me very simply. And I at first I chuckled, and I didn't know whether it was how to take it. He said, and now we have Pat Wood on with us today, the living expert on technocracy, and he stopped.
Oops.
Oh.
That's all he said. And I thought, you mean there's some dead ones out there? I don't like the sound of that.
Bad trend.
The only one left. But here we are.
Well, I thought, some people have followed your stuff for a long time because I first became acquainted with you back when we first got the Tea Party started, 10, 11 years ago. And I'm noticing that there are a whole different group of people that are becoming interested in these topics now. It's kind of like the second wave. I don't like to assume that people have heard of people or followed them or whatever. I mean, I think you have a whole new batch of followers out there. And we have a whole lot of people who listen outside the United States. And we know that they're being impacted. So I said it was all your choice, but can you tell people? I lied. Can you tell people?
She lied just to get you to come on.
My first lie. I'm Irish. We lie for, just sport. The technocracy thing, I'm not sure people necessarily know that name, but am I overstating it to say that Anthony Fauci is the poster boy?
Well, he is in our country, very easily discernible, he sits behind presidents, yet calls all the shots for policy. No pun intended on shots. But, yeah, exactly. Technocracy, however, is, I have to keep reminding people, it's an economic system, more than just a medical dictatorship sort of a thing. We see it there, and that's part of it. But it's an economic system that was developed way back in the last century, in the 1930s, that was supposed to replace capitalism and free enterprise. And they thought capitalism was dead in 1932 as the Great Depression was on and stuff. But capitalism didn't die, and so they didn't get their dream come true. Today, we see the same people with the same policies mounting an assault on the entire planet, not just on the North American continent. And now they're talking about a great reset. That is a complete makeover of the economic system. Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It's technocracy.
Yep. Just
and the reason
rebranded.
I keep using the word, pardon?
It's just rebranded.
Just rebranded. That's right. They just changed the name and kept on trucking. And so today we see all of the elements of this coming out with, like the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, Build Back Better, et cetera, where they're saying flat out We're going to replace capitalism and free market economics as you know it, and we're going to enter into this new era of a resource-based economic system where they control the resources and they control your consumption of those resources. Just that simple. This is very scary for people just waking up to it. They're like in shock. It's kind of like you go to the gas pump today, and I don't know what it is in California, but I bet it's close to $6 a gallon now.
Kind of depends on where you are. We're creeping on five.
Yeah, we're just about to hit five. We're 10 cents away from five in Arizona right now. But people wake up. They look at this stuff and say, "Wait a minute, something screwy going on here." And they're starting to understand what it means, resource-based economic system. And the reason I keep harping on the word technocracy is that so many people want to view it as communism, socialism, or fascism. And it's not. It's none of those. It's different. And they're significant. Of course, on the other hand, the similarities of it, technocracy is a totalitarian system where you have no choice. You can't move left, right, up, or down. They will just tell you what to do, and you'll have to do it. And that's why Klaus Schwab today can say, and he has said, you will own nothing and be happy by 2030. Not sure how that's going to work out, but I don't think I'm going to be happy about that.
That's probably going to be bad. Well, I mean, the thing that always stuck with me about the concept of technocracy was that the people who think that this is a great idea, they think that if experts ran everything instead of just a bunch of dummies electing other dummies to represent them, if we just had experts in charge of everything, the world would be so much better off. The last 2 years I have, it's been frustrating, but I've kind of chuckled up my sleeve over and over and over that even the dumbest person, you know, out there who really was like hook, line, and sinker, you know, for this, they would have to look at all the craziness that's happened and thought, maybe being run by experts isn't awesome. Because look at what a mess they made.
Yeah. Everything that the technocrats have touched in the last 30 years has turned to dirt. Every single thing. I can't think of anything where they really excelled and made life better for anybody. But all the promises that the United Nations have made, which is how this spread to the world, by the way, it was through the United Nations. All the promises they've made to eliminate poverty and to, you know, have jobs with dignity for everyone and safety for the whole world, that all is just a pile of propaganda. And none of it has come true, and just the opposite has happened. We have more poverty today than we've ever had. We have more wars today than we've ever had, more conflicts. We have less jobs today than we've had before. You know, you just go down the line. Everything they've touched has turned to dirt. It's just like, well, when are people going to wake up to this and say, you know what, we need to throw these bums out?
Well, the interesting part of it is they go to their elected officials and they want them to save them, but because it's all being done by the bureaucracy, you're looking at either the governor or the top of the executive branch, so you're looking at the governor or the president, and if they're, for lack of a better term, in on it or good with it, there's no recourse because they're not doing this.
And also they've continually financed people. I mean, just keep giving them free stuff, and they'll keep them in office and continue to put these policies in place. And now here we are, free money's running out, and we're stuck with terrible inflation, $5 a gallon gas. The job market, people don't want to work now because they got it for free for so long. I think they're used to just sitting around and being spoon-fed. And here we are.
No forks? Too pointy?
No forks. They can't. It's too sharp. Yeah.
Yeah.
We better take a really quick break, Pat. Otherwise, we'll interrupt you. When you come back, we're going to put tape over our mouths and stop being super excited about the topic and shut our pie holes. How's that? We're going to pass a law for that while you're listening to these commercials. You can catch us on the web at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Lovely.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you, and still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that, I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil lined in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
And today's the day. We were just laughing before the show. We all have to get new conspiracy theories because all the old ones came true.
Yeah.
But all these things that, I mean, Pat, you've probably had tons of people tell you, oh, none of this is really happening over the years.
Yeah. They don't tell me that so much anymore.
No, I know. That's what's so funny about it.
And, I know. In a scary way,
but all those things that we used to get, because the last time we saw you was in 2011, by the way. I did look it up.
Oh.
And back then, we were alone. And we were new. You had actually been talking about it for years by then.
Yes, I was very alone. I still, in a way, kind of feel alone still. But I have to say, I'm so glad that more up and coming journalists are writing about technocracy now than ever before. They're finally really starting to get it. And there's some scholarship coming out of the world, you know, out there of journalists and writers and authors and stuff like that, which is really good. It may be too late, you know, maybe not, but at least the early work has been validated time and time again.
Yeah.
I can tell you a funny story, by the way.
We love funny stories.
This will tick you. I know, because it's a Northern California story.
Mm.
You know, I lived for years in Grass Valley, and this isn't when I was living there, but I went back up there to Grass Valley to do a talk at the fairgrounds, and it was a talk to the school. Was it? I don't know, some Tea Party group, I think, probably. They filled the room up. It was full. And lo and behold, my friend Debbie Bacigalupi was with me. And so she was a little skeptical back then. I don't know about this technocracy stuff. You know, she knew a lot about Agenda 21, but she wasn't quite sure about the whole thing. And I said, Debbie, one day, someday, you're going to meet a technocrat, and your teeth are going to drop out of your mouth. And I said that jokingly, but, you know, along the way, sort of. I said, you just wait. You'll see. Well, here we are at this meeting. I gave my talk, and afterwards, everybody was milling around and chit-chatting. Some people went home. Other people wanted to stay and talk. She comes up to me. Sasha comes up rather abruptly. She says, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, I just met a technocrat. And this guy was there. He rode his bike there. I don't know what this guy was in the area. He rode his bike there. I happened to run into him a few months later and talked to him, and sure enough, he was a technocrat. He pulls out his wallet, and he opens his wallet up with one of the little clear displays, and, you know, where you can see, like, it should be your driver's license, whatever. But he had a card in there that said Technocracy Incorporated, and it gave his name and everything else. And the guy was a certified dyed-in-the-wool technocrat. This guy came up to her and said, I'm so-and-so, and I am a technocrat.
Because it was a real thing.
It was a real thing. I know. Here he was. Yeah. So it's kind of, it was pretty funny. That's my Northern California story.
That they live among us. Hence my earlier song.
They live among us. That's right. You could say like mushrooms are the fungus among us.
Well, so the technocrats have been worming their way in to unelected power for over 10 years. They've been convincing people that, hey, if you just let us take care of this, we've got, you know, all the answers. And we've seen in the last 2 years that the people that we elected, since none of this is based on laws that they passed, it's very difficult to rein them in.
It is almost impossible.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that,
because,
but it's kind of sad.
And I'll tell you why. It's not that it's physically impossible, but what's happened is that let me back up to the 1930s just to set the stage for this. Back then, the technocrats wanted to completely demolish our political system. They wanted to send Congress home. Anybody elected in society, you're gone. Just go home. We're going to run everything from now on. So that was pretty radical. No other ism said we need to get rid of the political structure altogether. Nobody, including communists. They wanted a political structure so they could control everything. But the technocrats were going to control everything scientifically, which is different. They said, we don't need a government. Well, this antipathy still exists with governments today. The government and elected officials have become useful idiots to these technocrats. They operate on a global stage now, of course. They're not just American, although a lot of technology came from America, but they're not just Americans. They're all over the planet now. And the politicians are the useful idiots. And what I mean by that is the technocrats are calling the shots on policy, using the political structure that's still there to implement it, in other words, to force it down our throat. But when government tries to resist, when somebody in government tries to resist these people, like try to get rid of Fauci, for instance,
yeah.
It doesn't happen. Okay, why doesn't it happen? Well, the reason it doesn't happen is they have more power than do our elected politicians. That's just clear. That's just long and short of it. They have more power collectively than do the governments of the world right now. And what governments of the world will someday wake up to, probably too late, is that they will be the first ones to get thrown under the bus if technocracy takes over completely. And that means we will get thrown under the bus, too, because those are, in fact, our elected people. And I understand that. You are We the People Radio. I get that.
There's
a reason you call it that.
Well, you do see sort of a morphing into this, because it's a deference that is shown. You know, well, they probably know more than we do. And it depends. Are we gathering information or allowing them to set policy? Because I can hear, you know, I don't know, I'm always channeling the other side in my other ear. And I'm thinking, okay, so there are people out there thinking, well, it is a good idea to have experts in charge of things. Well, experts should be providing data, but they should not be setting policy. And I think
that's right.
I think those distinctions have to be maintained, or we wind up locked in our houses with no toilet paper
and a mask on.
Yes,
three masks.
And with mask on.
Come
right.
on, Bill.
Yeah.
Imagine just for the sake of understanding what this means, what we're talking about. Imagine Jeff Bezos, the former chairman of Amazon. Imagine Bezos getting into a position of power, like, I don't know, say, country dictator, world, it doesn't matter, world dictator, whatever. Say he gets in a position of influence, and he decides to run society like he runs Amazon. Now, if anybody has any idea of how Amazon is run, it's probably pretty scary. They employ a lot of people. I expect there's probably some people listening to this program that have been employed or are employed by Amazon right now. It's not really a fun place to work. There's so much pressure on the employees there. And in many cases, we've seen stories on this. They're afraid to go to the bathroom because they get dinged and they get fired.
Well, I saw the commercials. That's not what they say on the commercials.
Of course not.
Those were totally true, Bill.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, you know, here you have every little movement you make monitored by a camera and AI. And if you're moving too slow or you didn't pack enough boxes per hour, whatever, a little red light might go off and ba-ding, 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 and, you know, you're busted. Hurry up. Move faster. This is a very autocratic place to work. Now, Would you like to have America run like that? You know, because the technocrats that are behind this, the people like the Faucis of the world and the Googles and the, you know, the Facebooks of the world, this is how these companies are run. Do you really want to run the world that way? Do we as citizens want to be run like that?
Yeah.
No, not under any circumstance do we want that. That's why we have a political system right now, is to keep us away from despots like that. At least when you work for somebody like a Google, if you have a job, thank goodness you have a job, it's good to get a paycheck. But it's going to be a hard paycheck for you. And at least you can get off at 5 o'clock and go home. You know, get a breather from the whole thing. If the whole world was run this way, just arbitrarily, there'd be no escape. It would be the scientific dictatorship that Aldous Huxley talked about. And he said, if it really was ever implemented, there would be no escape. And these are the stakes right now that we face. These technocrats say that they want to run society according to science and nothing else. Political system means nothing to these people. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think we got a heads up on that one over the last couple of years. The science seemed to shift around in an odd way.
They have their own science too. It's not necessarily
the science.
The popular. Well, it is the popular science. It's not the real science. I mean, they find their own white papers and their own, you know.
Well, and then anybody who questions that, of course, with other science.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a hater. You're a communist. You're yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go against it.
Well, we motor on talking about this story. People are paying attention now. They are getting it. They're starting to feel it in their own lives, the pinch. If they don't feel it in the pocketbook, they feel it psychologically, certainly. And, right now with the whole vaccine mandate, a lot of it still being in place, it's kind of easing up in some places. But, you know, we found out just how dictatorial these people can be, and how they've been able to get through and manipulate our politicians to do these things. It's just incredible, absolutely incredible. You never would have thought 5 years ago, if you'd asked, could this scenario exist, you'd say no. No way could ever get to this point. Well, here we are.
Yep.
Yeah, and, happened really quickly, too.
It does. And in 2020, when this whole thing started with the pandemic, I wrote, immediately, and I understood this immediately, that this was the coup d'etat of technocracy.
Mm-hmm.
This was it. It was a big game on. The war has begun, that sort of thing. And the reason I did is because, you know, I've watched the global warming crowd for a very long time. The United Nations, all these crazy, scientists that are bastardizing data sets to make it say whatever they want to say, and scandals all over the place, whatever. I've been watching this crowd for years. That's the whole Agenda 21 sustainable development crowd. And I saw those people, the very same people, jump off of global warming track over onto the pandemic track, and they did exactly the same thing they did in global warming. They used fear to pump policy to get people moving towards sustainable development. So you saw the same people, the same universities, the same cracked computer models writing, creating incessant, we're all going to die because the seas are going to rise sort of thing. And I said, this is as phony as a, stick of bologna. And this is what's happened. I mean, we see this now so clearly. It's the same crowd that did this to us, that did the global warming thing to us. And they're pushing us towards this scientific dictatorship. It's ugly. And it's not just, you're right in saying that, well, they gave us a lot of candy. You know, we have the iPhone, there's an app for just about everything you can imagine.
You can get a QR code for your vaccine. How hip is that? You could even have it tattooed on you.
I know.
Great,
you know,
idea. Oh, my gosh. Run out there and do that first.
Yeah. So we do know that they're capable of giving us candy and drugs, if you will, not so much fentanyl or something like that, but they give us the drug of the iPhone, the social media clicks and the hits and this, that, and the other, instant gratification. But now we know they're also just as capable of giving us bullets. And we're seeing this start to take place, of course, now in Europe with Ukraine. And there's nobody knows where that's going to end yet. It's a brand new thing still. It's not going to be over tomorrow, that's for sure. But the technocrats of the world are just as easily going to deliver bullets to people that they feel like they need to as candy to people like us. And I'm glad we don't have bullets over here. But, believe me, I am. But, you know, the world is being reshuffled right now. The Great Reset, as the World Economic Forum says, is underway right now. And there's a little doubt in my mind that Ukraine is part of that plan. I'm not exactly sure how yet, but it's part of that plan to reset the world. And we live in very dangerous times now, very treacherous times.
Very dangerous.
Well, it's interesting to me that, like, even, you know, really non-political people are kind of making jokes, even though it's, you know, a lot of times jokes are kind of real and not that we only laugh because we're nervous. But, you know, that Putin basically solved COVID. He's the one who cured it.
Yeah, he did.
Because it magically went away when this all started.
Well, I've said all along that you know, people will sit back and let this stuff go and not participate in any change and let it go until it hits them in the pocketbook. And when it hits them in the pocketbook and all of a sudden they can't afford food, they can't afford gas, they, you know, their job isn't allowing them to make enough money to
and it's not just hammering like people in the rural areas, it's getting them too. It's sweeping over everything.
Oh, it's sweeping over everything. And I think that's opening people's eyes that, hey, this, whatever it is we're doing right now, is not working. And I'm hoping that, you know, they'll stay awake.
The great wake up will come faster than the great reset.
Exactly.
Now, when we come back, I want to know what you're seeing, because you deal with people in a completely different realm than we do. We travel here in Arizona, and we kind of see different folks, so I'd love to know what you're hearing about this. And I thought I would use this break to do a farewell to masks because, well, we're super sick of them, and since Anthony Fauci is in hiding, we should do a farewell. So you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Take this mask and shut it. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store. Don't even try to make me put it on or I'm walking out the door. Take this mask and shut. Been shopping in this place for almost 15 years, and I've seen all kinds of viruses, but I've never lived in fear. Now I know that Corona's real, and it probably ain't a lot to ask, but I ain't a bank robber, and I ain't the Lone Ranger, and I don't want to wear this mask. Take this mask and shove it. I ain't wearing it no more.
Yep, I think we better hang on to those songs because my guess is they will try to bring that back at some point in time.
Oh, I have no doubt once...
we better start the songs early.
They run our Ukraine crisis into the ground. They're going to have another one, and I have a feeling we're going to have another pandemic come on the scene. What do you think about that, Patrick?
Well, yeah, it's come... It's undoubtedly going to come back at some point. Right now, they need to escape from it. I do believe that the invasion of Ukraine is the next shoe to drop in this battle, in this war. It's going to be, it will take a little more time really to figure out how, but I'm absolutely certain that this is part of the big game. And our attention is diverted away from face masks right now. However, just as the pandemic came in after that, remember that scripted exercise they did called Event 201 to say exactly what they're going to do if a pandemic ever came along. And then 6 months later, look at the old one.
Yeah, what about that?
Surprise.
Amazing.
Yeah. What a coincidence, right? Well, remember this last year, last fall, there was a huge operation that took place. The World Economic Forum was one of the sponsors of it. IMF was there, too. And it was a scripted simulation of what would happen if there was a massive cyber attack on the world, on the critical infrastructures of the world. And the minute I saw the concept of scripted again, I thought, this is there's something going on here that I don't like. And I said at the time, I said, I'm getting a feeling very likely there's going to be some kind of a cyber event that will panic the governments of the world into demanding a universal global ID to identify everybody on the planet and use that as a means of control on what you will consume and won't consume. But now that Russia has wheedled its way into Ukraine, we see headlines like this from The Hill. This is just an example. Russia weighs risks of launching cyber attacks against the West. In every article I see now coming out on Russia/Ukraine, the word cyber appears in it somewhere, just like everyone. This is propaganda, remember, right? We got to take all this as propaganda. But whenever you see a word repeated like this over and over and over, you need to pay attention.
Yeah, they're prepping you.
There's something, yes. It's the propaganda is setting you up for something. So if Russia is now the big boogeyman to launch cyber attacks against the West, well, that could turn out really bad because we know that, hackers have the ability to disrupt things, very quickly. And if that happens, you can imagine the response here in the United States will be like from Homeland Security and Patriot Act 2 and the passport idea, universal ID, idea so they can control the Internet, keep all these dirty hackers away. You can just see it coming, and I don't like the sound of it whatsoever, but I'm getting the feeling now that this is the next big shoe to drop. Will there be more viruses? Certainly. In the future, absolutely. But I think in the meantime, we're going to be dealing with cyber issues, cyber attacks. And those are scary, too. Those are as scary as a virus. Because now your cupboards are empty.
Mm-hmm.
The store shelves are empty, too. And you can't get enough gas to go anywhere, maybe, from work and back. Hopefully, you can get to work and back. Live out in the country, if you live out in the country and got a Ford, a Chevy, whatever, 250 pickup or diesel, and you have to fill that baby up every week, you're going to be giving something up in your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what better way to control the masses than, number one, control the food supply? I mean, shoot, we went to the grocery store yesterday, and we were kind of shocked at how many shelves were empty on certain food items. They just didn't have them. And if there was some kind of a big cyber event and your grocery stores all of a sudden started having massive empty shelves, I mean, people are going to do whatever they have to do. You know, if the government says we have to do this or that, they're going to do it because they.
Meanwhile, look at the other things that are going on in the background, right? Because the global warming people, they're not gone. They're just fleas on the dog. They're taking the ride at this point with the big switchover, and so now they're really trying to push, their electric cars and all that. And if you think the store shelves empty being a problem, but if you can't get to the store because you're driving like a Barbie Jeep that only, keeps a charge for 30 minutes.
Well, and then
I know I just slandered Barbie Jeeps. They probably go longer than that, but I'm not sure.
Well, another thing I think we need to prepare for is now we're starting to hear rumblings about your social credit score.
Yeah. Pat, how does that come in? Have you seen stuff with that coming in?
Well, it is. And, again, I want to say, through all the political administrations we've had in the last, say, 50 years, this technocrat crowd has worked under the surface of all of them. They didn't care who was in power. It didn't matter to them whether the Democrat, Republican, or whether it was a Ronald Reagan or a Bill Clinton. They didn't care. They manipulated the whole system, and they laid their plans and their infrastructure to do what they're doing today over the last 50 years. And so that's still going on today. Regardless of who's in power, it doesn't matter if a Joe Biden is in power right now. Well, I used to say that loosely. He's not really in power. He's there, but
yeah.
My point. But
he's moving slowly.
Moving ahead with their plans as they see fit. And the social credit scoring system is a big one right now. It's huge. We know what that is from China, but it's also now part and parcel of the financial world with the so-called ESG scoring that is being done on companies and retirement funds and stuff like that all around the world. And now we see this social credit scoring system coming down to us personally, where we are being analyzed as to how well we line up with sustainable development. And if you don't line up the way they want, then you'll be punished for it. You'll lose privileges. You won't be able to get certain things.
Yeah.
And I know people say, oh, that sounds like nonsense. Listen, I have talked personally to people who try to get insurance policies. And for one reason or another, the agent called them up and said, I'm sorry, you've been declined. And you go, well, what do you mean? I've had a policy with this company for 20 years. They say, well, they declined your policy. And you look into it. If you can get below the surface of it, you look into it and find out that they did a rating on you according to things like social credit scoring. And they figured out, after reading all your posts online and looking at, you know, your lifestyle and, you know, where you stand on certain issues and stuff like that, and they said, nope, we're not going to cover you anymore. Say, well, gee, that's not fair. Well, you're right. Scientific dictatorship is not fair
yeah,
at all.
Exactly.
And that's definitely scientific dictatorship.
Well, that's also going to
affect as a factor. That's not even in the equation.
Well, that whole social credit score thing is also going to dictate whether or not you'll be able to go to a bank or a lending institution and get a loan.
Right.
If you can't get a loan, I mean, that really puts you behind the eight ball in society.
It does. And they're kind of finding this out in Canada now. When Trudeau pulled the Emergency Powers Act, they couldn't get he was going after the bank accounts directly. Nobody thought he could do that in the first place. But I said, oh, we're going to do that. Not only that, but if you gave money to those truckers, we're going to go after you, too, and freeze your bank account.
Yeah.
And that night, there was a mini run on the bank system in Canada, and Trudeau reversed himself very quickly because he realized how he stepped in the cow pie.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to destroy the banking system. He needed that, right, to get on with his little, whatever he's doing, his dictatorship. But we see all around the world now the central banks are looking at coming out soon with digital currency. We see in China that China has paved the way for what they call programmable currencies, where a digital currency has, of course, as part of a blockchain transaction, and they know where every bit of value is in people's wallets throughout the country because of blockchain technology. And so they've made it programmable so that if they don't want you to spend on a certain thing or a certain amount, they can literally flip an algorithm switch, and your currency for that purchase is disabled. In other words, it's programmable, switchable on and off for you, no matter where you are in the country or the world, for that matter, because it's their currency.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are very disturbing trends.
Yeah, that's frightening, because, I mean, they have total control over you at that point.
That's right. And I know a lot of people still say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, you know, what can it hurt you? Say, you need to get off that
block
right now. Well, I've heard that for years.
Yeah, well, I don't do anything wrong. Why would they mess with me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit back and do nothing.
Oh, my favorite is, I'm really well armed. I'll be able to defend myself. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Island didn't even help Jeffrey Epstein.
That's right. And, you know, I've always been pro Second Amendment my whole life, so far back as I can remember. It's a very important thing. I grew up hunting and fishing and stuff, so, you know, I've used guns from the time I was probably 5 years old. But I'll tell you what, we do not want to see guns being used in America like they are in the Ukraine right now.
Yeah, no.
The only thing that's going to stop us is the First Amendment, which deals with free speech. And I can't I cannot stress this enough. We need to get off the whole treadmill that, oh, I'm gonna I'll shoot my way out. No,
yeah.
You won't.
No. No.
No way.
Well, how do you even decide, you know, who to pick? I keep, you know, it's funny because I have this conversation a lot, and I'm like, you know, at different points in time, you know, we had teams. They wore uniforms. They had geographic boundaries. If you were north of this line, you were on this team. You were south, you were in the wrong spot. And for a while there, it looked like we might be able to do, you know, masks, no masks. Now, whoops, everybody's looks kind of the same. How do you know who the good guys are and the bad guys are?
Yeah, I know.
It's just a non-workable
propaganda that's been, you know, kind of put out there that, well, you need to be tough, you know, like the old West, and think you're going to gunsling your way out of it. And it's just simply not true, not in a complex world like it is today.
No.
Well, that's not how we're going to solve it. I mean, the idea that people may not need to defend themselves, definitely not laughing at that. That's always an issue as we become more and more and more lawless. So those things still apply, but the idea that we're going to solve it that way, yeah, super unlikely.
Do we have time to talk about Professor Matthias Desmet in Belgium?
We have like 2 minutes.
I wonder. 2 minutes? Well,
should we save him till after the top of the hour? Is he?
Let me start it.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
You can cliffhanger
professor,
us.
Professor Matthias Desmet is a professor of clinical psychology in Belgium. And he proposed a theory called mass formation psychosis. I think it holds a lot of water, personally.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's why the world, half the world is seemingly mad right now, just completely off the rocker. And people ask that question all the time. Why is the world crazy these days? Well, he says it's mass formation psychosis. And it is, in a sense, like kind of like mass hypnosis. People have just gone off the deep end. But he said that whenever that happens, mass formation psychosis, it always creates a scapegoat. It has to have a scapegoat to blame for its own inability to get anything done at all. So the scapegoat now in today's world is the unvaccinated. The scapegoat in World War II, like in Germany, for instance, were the blacks and the gypsies and the invalids and the Jews and the rich people were the scapegoat in the Bolshevik Revolution and the educated intelligentsia. And they always create a scapegoat. They just to the letter to the revolution, they always create a scapegoat. The thing is, and he brings this up, sobering thought. We can talk about it more at the top of the hour, but he brings up the point. He says when that scapegoat is silenced, in other words, when free speech is no longer available to them, they cannot communicate with the outside world anymore. When the scapegoat is silenced, and he paused, he said, that is exactly when the killing begins.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave people to think about that and to think of one example where that's not true, and you won't find any historically. Whenever that minority scapegoat group is silenced beyond ability to speak or communicate with the outside world, that is when the killing starts. And, you know, you look at Nazi Germany, for instance. They did that to every group they went after to kill.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened. Same thing's happening right now, by the way, in Russia, when they just outlawed all misinformation, quote unquote.
So, that's actually sort of funny.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of that?
Well, all of the media, all of the Western media summarily packed up their bags and left. They left the country. They're gone. I mean, talk about free speech. You know, there's going to be no message getting out of Russia now.
No, there's only one message going to get out of Russia now.
And that's really all you were ever getting, but they were pretending that they had multiple voices. Yeah, not so much.
Not anymore.
Mr. Wood, we are going to come back with you in the next hour because you are our hostage, and thank you for doing that. I've also added some of your shows on our site from 2016 and 2011 if people want to go listen. I think they will like them. You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
And we'll be right back.
Things aren't always just what they seem. I want to
find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone. We'll be
good afternoon. Welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake, and they do everything John Deere. So if you need a tractor, attachments, parts, service, give them a call. Their phone number is 226-9226, 530 area code, or did I give the address? 3119? Yeah, yeah.
3119 Twin View Boulevard?
Yeah, there you go. Or you can catch them on...
I don't know, but I know it.
Yeah, you know it. I go there. Yeah, I know where it's at. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. And as far as the website goes, we have people who listen from all over the place, and we have a lot of people who listen now during the show, but after, later this afternoon, Robert will take out the Moments of Free Enterprise and slam those little bumper songs together and make the whole thing interruption free, and it is free to listen to. You can find archives dating back to 2010, 11, I think it was 10, before I started choking.
Yeah.
And maybe not.
Yeah, and if
maybe
you
that's,
want,
maybe that's a current event.
Yeah, and if you're interested in being a sponsor of the show, you can go to our website as well, and there is a sponsor tab on there, or you can give us a call, and we can make some special arrangements for you.
Yeah, we're happy to promote you, your products, all that kind of stuff, as long as you're not a weirdo or selling dope. I have just a thing about that, for heaven's sakes. They're advertising everywhere.
Wow. Like, so you're not into the whole dope and fentanyl?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I had a guy down the corner was hawking
dope
some
store.
Stuff
we're
down
gonna,
there. So.
Yeah, we're freezing you out.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So anyway, you've got all that on there. Mr. Wood, continue on about the... because there was a video that was really making the rounds on YouTube, and I'm going to go find it and add it. It was done by the After School people, SKOOL, and it was mass psychosis, the killing of the mind. That was it, and it talked about all that, how they just get these guys to go in lockstep. And there isn't anybody who hasn't noticed that over the last couple of years.
I think so. And even today, as in Arizona, for instance, the masking phenomena has subsided quite a bit. You will still see people driving down the street.
Yes.
In a closed car, you know, air conditioners running, wearing a mask.
Alone.
Alone. And
no.
It makes you look at them twice. I mean, you go, what? You shake your head. This mass formation psychosis is very hard to break out of once you're in it. But people are falling out now, I think, around the world, you know, recognizing all of the protests and stuff that are happening around the world. That some people are falling out of it now and saying, hey, wait a minute, you guys are pulling a fast one here. Which is a good thing, but it's very hard for some people to get out of that state once they're in it.
Yeah, yeah. There was a news conference, I think it was last week, when Ron DeSantis came to the microphone, and there were a bunch of high school kids standing behind him, and they were all masked up. Of course, he didn't have a mask on, and and he turned around, and he kind of got in their face a little bit. He said, hey, you guys don't need to wear those masks. He said, we don't do mask theater here anymore, so it's up to you. If you want to wear it, that's fine. And like all but, I think, one reached up and took that mask off. They didn't want to wear them, but you know, they had to, and I'm sure they were told to. But yeah, I think people are slowly coming around on this mask thing, that they're pretty much done with it.
Well, the whole purpose of it in the first place, in my opinion, and my work with Citizens for Free Speech, is that the First Amendment was under tremendous assault when COVID started. That was part and parcel of it. Remember I said mass formation psychosis forms a scapegoat, and they must silence that scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that process started in 2020 with face masks, with social distancing, with lockdowns, with scaring people to death, making them stay in their homes, isolating them, in other words. This all had a psychological effect to stomp on the First Amendment.
Oh, sure.
Bottom.
Yeah, pay them to stay home.
Well, you know, there's 5 points in the First Amendment. First one is freedom of expression of religion. And the whole thing has to do with communication, by the way. But they put that one first because they founders believed communicating with God was the most important thing you could do. That's a vertical communication. Right after that came free speech, freedom of speech, which is communicating with each other. And then freedom of the press, which you're doing, you're part of that press that's disseminating one message to many people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the right to assemble peaceably, of course. So when the First Amendment came under attack, you found out churches were closing like, they're dropping like flies all over the country.
Oh, yeah, they were prosecuting and arresting people if they...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. And then you had, of course, you couldn't gather. And you got canceled and shamed and everything else if you couldn't speak. And if you had a face mask on, nobody could understand you anyway,
yeah.
Even if you tried to speak. So the First Amendment just took a huge hit during the COVID, these last two COVID years. And it's still going on. But this is an attempt to silence the scapegoat. And it's been very effective, I'm afraid. Very, very effective.
What is your guess? Do you think people would go for this again?
I do.
Oh, that's not
I do. Good. And I'll tell you why. It's that when people in authority stand up and say something that is going to end up being abusive to whoever they're saying it to, people tend to listen, especially when fear is introduced. They'll listen to anything. You know, when the fight or flight urge kicks in, anybody that offers you an open door, you go run through it. That this can happen time and time and time again. The only prevention to that is that if fear does not catch hold, if people don't get scared the next time around, say, we've seen that, you know, been there, done that, get out of here.
Right.
If they don't get fearful, they won't be moved. So the question is, how do you keep people from being fearful? Whatever it is, it's coming next. Well, you know, I'm a good example. I'll go back to cyber attacks right now. The article that appeared in The Hill just recently talking about Russia, because Russia's talking about cyber attacks. Now, they said, we're gonna level you guys. We're going to take your whole infrastructure down. We're talking about nuclear plants. We're talking about water plants. We're talking about sewer plants. We're talking about your communication system, the internet itself. I mean, if they pulled this on us, imagine the panic and fear that would take place.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy moly. I mean, you know, the world, people would go walk outside their houses when their cell phones aren't working, going, what happened, man? How am I going to live?
Yeah,
I'm going to stay alive.
Go to use your credit card, and they don't work anymore.
That's right. If you can even get to the bank, because your car might be shut down.
Yeah, or you couldn't go to the gas pump if you can't use a credit card. And it would be mass hysteria.
Yeah, it would be huge. And so, could it happen again? Yes. Fear is always the lead in the propaganda that wants to manipulate you. That's just the way it works. Fear is always the first thing. It's a necessary ingredient for propaganda to work.
Mm-hmm.
So propaganda always starts out with some fear proposition. I don't care what it is. It's something fearful is going to happen. That's why you need to take action now. You know, dial 1-800, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Take action right away. But these people are masters at it, and I can tell you why they're masters at it. Even back in the 1930s, technocracy themselves defined themselves in their own words back then as being arbiters of the science of social engineering. That's what they said about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, "Yep, we're gonna get this science of social engineering thing down to a T." And you look around today, and you have to say, "Well, I guess they really did know what they were talking about. They did it. Here we are."
Yeah, yeah. And what's very interesting is the fact that now that technology has come comes has advanced so much, we don't know what's coming next. And there's so many ways now that they can affect your life through technology. And people can become fearful very easily. And I mean, that's going to be a sign of the times. I think you're right. I think it's coming.
It is always fear,
well,
though.
I know. And it wouldn't take much at this point. Imagine waking up some morning and overnight that the sewer system in your town had been hacked and crippled.
Right.
And so you couldn't flush your toilet.
Yeah, simple thing like that.
Just that alone. Imagine what... Yeah. You feel like you just suffered a home invasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
All of a sudden, your yard looks like a homeless camp.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. What was it here? Was it last year when they cyber-hacked a food processing plate? It was a meat factory or something they hacked and shut it down, and that affected like half or three-quarters of the United States availability. You know, so it doesn't have to be a big government agency that's hacked or a big municipality or the power grid. Some little thing can have a major effect on society.
Absolutely.
Well, we've done a bunch of shows with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who has been talking about EMP and cyber the hacks and what happens if the grid goes down. He's been talking about that for years. He's kind of like you in the power grid, in the power grid thing. We've just been talking about it forever, and now all of a sudden people are like, oh, wow, what would happen if the power grid went down? It's like, oh!
Yeah, yeah. No, we're in.
You guys are probably in the same self-help group.
Yeah.
So, just out of curiosity, I know that you put out like your Technocracy News and Trends always culls all these things out of the media. So I guess I would encourage anybody who thinks, well, I don't know if this is real. You know, we always have our skeptics out there. Or, frankly, it's kind of a scary topic, and you're thinking, I'm just not going to look at that one. I'm overloaded. I have too much to think about. I'm telling you, you should subscribe to his Technocracy News and Trends. Nothing bad has ever happened to me. It's never brought government agents to my door or anything like that. It's full of information. How many hours do you spend looking for articles for that, pulling out things that are actually happening so we can know about them?
I know it's a lifestyle now. Everything I look at, everything I read, I'm reading it with an eye to, is that a story that I want? So I curate news from all over the world, literally, looking for stories that relate directly. I'm painting a picture, I'm not an artist, but Technocracy News is kind of a living example of what technocracy is. And I want to paint a picture for people by selecting these articles from different places and disciplines and so on to show them what those people are thinking, what the other people are thinking, not what I'm thinking. You don't want to hear from me, really. I mean, I could write an article every day, I'm sure. But you don't want to hear from me. I'm hearsay at that point. You need to get the original stuff to see what they're saying. That's what our website is all about. It's presenting the picture from around the world, so that you can hear it from their own lips. There's nothing secret. There's no conspiracy here at all. It's not a conspiracy theory whatsoever. It's right out in full plain view. Just people are they're not looking for it. They just say, I'm gonna stick my head in the sand for another year. Well, you can do that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But like the old saying goes, what you don't know can and will hurt you if you stay ignorant long enough.
Well, I think, a lot of particularly older folks are like, well, I'm not on the computer, I'm not on the internet, I don't get involved in any of that, so it won't affect me. Yes, it will. It'll affect everybody. You just won't. You'll just be the last one to see it coming.
Well, but how much of this didn't require This didn't require the internet. It wasn't. It's not technology coming after you necessarily.
Yeah.
It's a it's a mindset. We have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about why you think. Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious why Fauci's gone underground, but how was he able to rise to power and get so much control and get his little minions in all the health departments? And oh my gosh, I mean, it was like they all had a secret meeting 10 years ago and have been plotting this coup on American society. Our guest is Patrick Wood. You are listening to We the People, and we aired this today live on March the 6th. I like to put that in there in case we replay this at a different time and you're wondering why we're still talking about Fauci.
2022.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah.
Could have been a different year.
Yeah, it could have.
I could have been teleported.
Yes, sir.
So you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Good job, Bill.
This old man and me, we're at the bar and we're having us some beers and swapping out on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
Heavy on the crazy.
Good old Billy Currington, a prophet for our time. I don't know when he wrote that song, but it's like, oh, wow. Kind of hits nail on the head. So what do you think? Like, Fauci just kind of came out of nowhere, somehow had everybody bamboozled, and was suddenly
the guy. Authority. Yeah.
Well, you know, he was there all his life, his professional life.
Lurking.
Anyway. He never, like, removed himself from the equation. It's just that he only needs to pop up when he needs to pop up. His work continues, whether he's visible or not.
And, we just
going all the way back
reins
to his early career, you know, if you listen to somebody like Dr. Professor Judy Mikovits, she'll tell you what Fauci used to do back with the whole AIDS debacle in the 80s and 90s. So he's been there the whole time. But for the most part, technocrats don't like the limelight. They'd rather kind of stay out of the limelight and just make things happen rather than, you know, have to worry about criticism and stuff like that. In any case, Fauci said in that interview he did with Chuck Todd, you know, people are attacking me, but they're not really attacking me. They're attacking science.
Yeah. You can't unsay that.
No, you can't. You know, this is his religion. You know, he's the high priest of the god of science.
Yeah.
And he behaves and acts that way, you know. So when it's necessary for him to come down from the mountain of science and tell us poor peons down here what we need to believe and do, then he does. But if you can do it without making a public statement on TV, you just shouldn't do that too.
What can I was thinking of this like 2 minutes before the end, so I'm half hour ahead. What would you, besides, you know, getting current information and, you know, not finding yourself swept up in the fear,
propaganda.
Got any ideas on, you know, what people can do? What would you advise people to do so that they don't get swept up in all that?
Number one, don't spend so much time looking at geopolitical issues. Look at your own community.
Hmm.
Get involved with your own town. Get a seat at the table. Get to know your city council people that are making policy for your town. Get rid of the ones that aren't performing and get people in that have a clear head and common sense. And I'll tell you, let me explain it why I say that. You can build a firewall around where you live by using the power of the city council, in some cases the county commissioners. But a city council can issue a binding resolution and keep any kind of nonsense outside the city limits that they choose to do so with. This has not been publicized very well, I'm sure, but it is true. And you think of all the towns, for instance, that don't have, say, a Costco or don't have a Sam's Club or some other big box store. Many towns across America said, no, you're not building here. And they went on down the road. And they didn't build there. And the reason they would say that is say, well, if we let you build here, you're going to destroy our local businesses. They said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to tolerate that. So you're not going to be able to build here. Well, other cities have said, we're not going to have pre-crime software in our police department. Period. Gone. Or we're not going to have cameras, no surveillance cameras in our town. Gone. The binding power of the city council is immense. And if you really want to have some level of protection around where you live, that's what you have to do. You have to get involved.
Yeah.
And forget about, I'm not saying don't vote, but just forget about getting all wrapped up and consumed by the national or the international or the global issue. Now keep your eyes open for sure, but get down and get a seat at the table in your local community and start rooting some of this stuff out where you live, because that ultimately is what's going to get you.
Yep.
You know, it's not, you don't have to worry about bullets in Ukraine. What's going to get you where you live is what your city does to you, ultimately.
Yeah, I think it was pretty interesting during the last couple of years, you know, how many people deal with their public health officials in their community? You know, zero. Most people don't know who they are. They don't, I'm not going to say they don't care like they, you know, they just don't think about it. They're there sort of toiling away in the background. But then all of a sudden they came out with all these edicts. And it's like, who are these people?
That's right. Nobody knew them.
No?
Nobody knew them.
That's become a real, now people are like, we got to keep an eye on these guys. I think this, in a way, this has followed the same trajectory that happens when the left takes power in politics. They, and we're seeing it in this administration, they always go too far, too fast. They push people too hard, and people are, I mean, it's like getting jabbed in the back with a sharp stick. It's like, you know, it's not subtle. And people are done with it.
Yeah.
No, but you're absolutely right. You can affect, you
tons
can have an effect
locally.
on local issues. You cannot really, I mean, you have a say in national issues, but you're not going to affect national issues like you can your local issues and your local government. And you're absolutely right. That's
well, look
what's
at like school boards. How many people never went to a school board meeting, and all of a sudden they're recalling them? I mean, when was the last time we had nationwide recalls on school board? I think never, probably.
Right. And that stems from what they're teaching. And
exactly. People CRT had no idea. It's like, who are these people? Why are they making our kids do this, that, and the other thing? And city councils, board of supervisors, all of a sudden, there's been a lot more scrutiny.
Yeah. There's some accountability going on.
And remember how it came to us in the first place. I know you all have a good understanding of Agenda 21 over the years. And I know you've heard of organizations like ICLE, for instance, that was like, I can't even pronounce the acronym anymore, but I know ICLEI.
International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives.
That's
terrifying.
Bingo.
That I remember.
Exactly. How they got to us from the United Nations down to the local level. They went local. They said that. Think global, you know, act local.
Mm-hmm.
They came down to our cities and counties, and they offered us these quote-unquote voluntary programs. And they kind of bypassed the national scene, and they bypassed, in many cases, the state scene altogether, and they just went to the local cities. And they convinced the cities that they should do these things, and so they did. And then, of course, people that rose out of the cities ultimately and went to the county level, went to the state level, went to the national level, they took all the garbage with them. And I'll tell you, you know, we're not going to work from the top down on this anymore. We need to do basically the same thing they did. We need to clean out our local rat's nest and let it work its way up naturally to the higher level. Mm-hmm. But that's where it has to start. It has to start at a local level to root this stuff out. And it can be done. It's not an impossible thing. Our director of training at Citizens for Free Speech puts it this way. She says, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's on the menu for dinner.
Good point. No, I think if you clean out your or clean up your local government and good people, step in, I think that's what's going to cultivate candidates for higher office. But gosh, we're not doing that now. We're promoting the local bad ideas are getting promoted to big government bad ideas. And
well, it's interesting because I guess the one thing I kind of came to the conclusion, because people wanted, you know, members of Congress to fix the Fauci thing. Well, they weren't making laws. None of these things were laws. They were gubernatorial emergency orders and all that stuff. It was happening below them. They weren't really in a place to make a law to counteract something that wasn't. And I kind of laughed. I thought, you know, you wouldn't go to the same place that's causing problems. I mean, going to the governor to fix his edicts, you don't go to the same place to fix the edict that dished it out. I mean, it has to be implemented locally. And I think once people kind of took him to task on a local level, that defanged him in large part.
There were counties, by the way, in Arizona, for instance, that, because we had a mask mandate here for a time. Our governor, Republican governor, by the way, put a mask mandate on. A bunch of businesses got shut down as a result. You know, it's horrible. But there were some sheriffs and some counties that basically told the state to stick it in their ear and that we're not going to enforce it and we're not going to require it. And they refused to bring the mandate down. So just in the same sense that the state can nullify unconstitutional federal law, counties can also do the same thing.
Yeah.
They can. And people say they don't think that's possible, but I'm telling you, it is possible. Right, we live right next to a county. We're actually in Maricopa County, which is not the best right now.
I was going to say, you're in the famous county.
Oh, I know. We're in a famous county. Well, right next to us is Pinal County, and the sheriff in Pinal County is... he's just like you and me. He's a straight-up guy, really straight-up. He says, we're not doing that. We're not having anything to do with that. And there's still people in Pinal County that wear masks, believe it or not, because they don't have to, but they do it because they're just kind of, you know, browbeaten into it. But it's possible to set those policies in a town, so you're simply not going to do what's illegal at the state level or the federal level. It's not going to do it.
Yeah.
If they don't like it, they can you know, say, well, we'll meet you in court then.
Well, you can't, unless you're going to hold everybody at gunpoint, and there aren't enough of them to do that, you can't make everybody do this stuff. I guess I looked at that with, like, nurses at the hospitals and different things, and people wanted somebody to make that change for them that they didn't have to get vaccinated, because we haven't even gone there yet. But, I mean, my take on it was, well, if you all refuse to do it, they can't fire all of you because they don't have a hospital anymore. Just a giant building with beds in it.
Yeah. A couple of hospitals did shut down, by the way.
Yeah.
Because the people walked away. I mean, I understand.
Well,
I mean, you don't want to walk away from something
like
that.
They fired them for not getting vaccinated, and others quit as a result.
Right.
Anyway, And they just didn't, they couldn't get enough staff, and so they shut down.
And then they had a crisis. Imagine that.
That's just, I mean, talk about no foresight. Where did they think that was going to go?
I don't think they game these things all the way out. I really don't. I think they figure, hey, you know what? We got them to wear masks for 2 years. I think we tell them all to get a shot. They're going to do that, too. And at the beginning, it sort of looked like it was going that way. But I don't know. Was it as big a fight in Arizona? I mean, I assume it was the same everywhere.
Well, it pretty much was. There was a lot of angst on the street. But I got a call from a lady early on, I think probably in the summer of 2020, lady living here locally, and she got plugged into Citizens for Free Speech. And she was retired. She lived with her husband in a gated community. And she was almost in tears when she called me. She says, I just don't know what to do. There's the mask mandate. And, you know, they were talking real tough and stuff. She says, I'm scared to death. So I have a little dog. And I like to walk my dog. And my husband has, he's on an oxygen mask or something, couldn't do much. He says, I'm afraid to leave my house because what if I get arrested on the street and who's going to take care of my husband?
Mm-hmm.
And she'd voluntarily, in a sense, made herself a prisoner inside of her gated community. And you know what? She told me, I listened to her. I tried to console her a little bit and say, that's not going to happen. You know, that's not quite the way it is. But, you know, I hung up the phone after that, and I had to deal with tears for a while, I'll tell you.
I know. That's so sad. I mean, that's what...
But she's not the only one.
Yeah, that's the whole fear thing really taking a hold of people.
Yes. I mean,
but she thinks like, okay, the world's gone crazy, so could it get crazier? Well,
yeah.
What are you going to tell them? No?
You know, I had a run-in with people at Costco one time where there was a bunch of mucky mucks down from Washington State, the headquarters to be our shore or whatever, and I recognized them immediately, and I walked in to get some shopping done, and because they all had suits on, you know, and people in Washington dress a certain way. It's really yuppie, you know. I knew they were, and I went up and talked to a guy, and I said, you know, we live in Mesa here. Mesa is a community. Because they're forcing people to wear face masks going in. You know, they want everybody to wear a face mask. I didn't do it. I just walked right past them, and they didn't arrest me either, but they could have. But I walked up to this guy, and I said, you know what? You want to serve the people in Mesa. We live in a retirement community here, primarily in Mesa, Arizona. Lots of trailers, lots of trailer parks, and, you know, RV parks, really, not just trailer parks, but they're pretty nice. But we have a huge, huge population of retired people. You know, they come to Arizona, the dry climate, for lung issues in particular. A lot of them have emphysema. You see a lot of people walking around with, oxygen bottles in tow or, you know, whatever little things they packs they carry on their side, and you see a lot of emphysema, all kinds of issues that deal with lungs and stuff. And so a lot of people come to Arizona that way. And you're making them wear a mask in your store, and it scares these people to death. I said, you want to serve the people in our community, then quit this crap. And the guy just kind of looked at me, you know, like his eyes kind of rolled around his head. It went in one ear, picked up speed, and went out the other side.
Yeah.
But, just didn't even faze him a bit. He said, well, in fact, I gave him one of our brochures on that face masks are harmful. And he said, well, I'll take this back and give it to, you know, whoever.
Give it to the round file coordinator.
I know, it probably made the wastebasket on the way out of the store. But, what happened at the top of the pyramid, there's some people in this whole pyramid that know exactly what they're doing. People like Fauci. He's not an idiot at all. He knows what he's doing.
No, he was, he was put in the right place at the right time if you were a bad guy. Hold that thought. Let's do a really quick break.
Okay.
We'll come right back and roll with you to the top of the hour. So I think what they really want to do is turn us into,
Lemmings.
Little robots. They'd like to inject us with whatever it takes to, make us just follow orders. So I found a couple songs about that. I thought I'd play them for you guys.
Oh.
You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
You're wondering who I am.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
Machine or mannequin.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
With parts made in Japan.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
I am the modern man.
I've got a secret I've been hiding under my skin. My heart is human, my blood is boiling, my brain IBM.
How it began, they produced a carbon copy man. Born in a science lab late one night, without a mother or a father, just a test tube and a womb with a view.
I think I'm a clone now.
Oh,
there's only two of me just a hanging around.
I think I'm a clone now.
A clone now.
Cause every chromosome is a hand-me-down.
I think I'm a clone now.
A clone now.
And I can stay at home while I'm out of town.
I think I'm a
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think we have too many clones running around.
I think we do too. But see, yeah. They'll make sure they don't clone any of us. I'm pretty sure there's a program deciding who gets cloned and who doesn't, yeah. And we're not on that list.
I'm pretty sure you're not a clone, but well, I know I'm not, but maybe I'm not sure about you.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. So, you know, Patrick, I've been carrying this around for 2 years. It's a little ratty. I used to carry a bunch of copies. But it was the California Department of Public Health thing about the guidance for use of face coverings. And here it says very clearly, the following individuals are exempt from wearing face coverings at all time. Didn't care about the whole list, just like this one part. Persons with a medical condition, mental health condition, or disability that prevents wearing a face covering. This includes persons with a medical condition for whom wearing a face covering could obstruct breathing. Attached with that, I had a note from my doctor that said I had severe asthma, could not wear a face mask, and I'll just tell you, nobody cared about my...
Nobody
cared about the actual rules.
Nope.
Like, no one was actually following the rules. Because those were the rules, but no one followed them.
And they didn't care what you had.
No. And even though they had made a rule that, because I'm thinking, how great is it that you get to, where else do you get to discriminate against disabled people? So I can't breathe. Well, no one cares. But if I was crippled, you'd have to make me a ramp or widen the door or do something which is, I mean, appropriate, obviously. But you can't see my disability. So, you know, obviously it's not real.
That's the way it was around the country, and that's certainly the way it was here, too.
Well, it's still that way with the airlines. Go try to get on an airplane without a mask.
I did. Yeah. Four flights.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was,
the last one, they almost threw you off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was war. I went to war with United Airlines. The other guys were really nice, but, yeah, it was a bad deal. And that's, I guess, the thing with the technocrats. They make the rules. There's no appeal process. There are no rights involved. It basically would suspend everything that we'd become Canadians.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I mean, we could. Yeah.
Well, what blew me away is here they're violating your rights, basically, and nobody really filed. Well, I don't say nobody, but
I did. I had a lawyer write a mean letter to United Airlines.
Yeah, why wasn't there more lawsuits? I think that would have probably stopped a lot of this, but maybe people were just too scared to be the one.
I think they all got tossed. I don't know. Did you hear any of that? You were really at the forefront. I have a lot of people who have the blue card. That helped people with the mask thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not doing it justice. Explain the blue card if you wouldn't mind, and
Well, it was simply just a placard that people could wear on a lanyard around their neck that stated that that they believe that wearing a mask posed a health risk to them, and that under the law they had a right not to wear a mask. I think that was correct too, by the way. But it's simple. But it just is official enough, you know, where people, some people in stores, and so, oh well, okay, fine, you know, pass on. That's what happened that day, by the way, when I told you I went to Costco. I had that card on, and I walked in, and I just said, I have an exemption. I don't wear a mask. She said, okay, you know, go on in. Everybody else was wearing a mask. But they knew at that point that they couldn't enforce it. In other words, they couldn't call the police in and say, arrest this guy because he came in here without a mask.
Right.
And so, you know, we had them dead to rights. But a lot of people wore our card and had quite a bit of success at getting into places without having, you know, with an exception. And it's unfortunate that I think back on it. It's just like, we have to do this in America.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, I think things like that worked early on. You know, a lot of stores would let you pass and so forth. But as the so-called pandemic,
as the fear
spread
set in,
and the fear set in, you were asked to leave. They would not let you in. I mean, we had stores here in town. We just didn't shop at anymore because I knew the minute you stepped in the door without a mask, that you either put the mask on or they had somebody escort you out. And even our local Costco was the same way. At first, they were letting you walk around, and you know you had to have one on when you walked in the door. As soon as you got in, you took it off, and a lot of people did that. But there were people that were basically asked to leave. And
yep. There was one lady, we've told this before, but she had a prescription of hydroxychloroquine filled at the Costco pharmacy, and they called her and told her they were revoking her membership. Because she was trying to infect another shopper that she coughed on them, which didn't happen. But she thought it was pretty weird. She had had the Rona early on and had a prescription of hydroxychloroquine, and they basically dismissed her from being a member of Costco forever. Please don't come back. I thought, wow,
a lot of
HIPAA violation going on there. Let's comb through our customers and find out who's probably a heretic and then get rid of them.
Yeah. This is along the lines of a social credit scoring system in China. Same kind of deal. You don't fit our MO or whatever, you don't like what you think or say or do, you're out of here.
I think people should be incredibly careful about what they're putting. I see so much personal, for a myriad of reasons, so much personal information on Facebook and Twitter and Facebook for whatever. It's almost like it comes with a secret potion that causes people to overshare. But
it does. And that's of course where all of the social credit information is coming from.
Yeah, they're calling all
they're
that on you.
They're volunteering it,
and you're giving them all the tools to make a prison for you later. I don't know.
Right.
It's that kind of stuff is super concerning.
That's right. That's right. And another thing early on that you don't hear so much anymore, I think the lawyers finally got to these people, said, you need to shut up on this. But they would say, well, we're a private business. I used to hear this all the time at, like, what was it? One of the local boutique grocery stores down here. But they said, we're a private business. We can do whatever we want. And I would say to him, you're absolutely wrong. You are not. You may be a private business, but you serve the public.
Right.
Yeah.
And because you serve the public, you are subject to all the laws and regulations of this county, of this city, et cetera, to serve the public. You don't have the right to do anything you want to do.
No. Go take your wheelchair ramp down and see how that works out for you. It's no different.
That's exactly right. And they would just sit there and stare at you. So it was a big lie. And then they would even get the police to come in many cases where, you know, they're going to trespass you. Well, at least in Arizona, 99 out of 100 times, they did not trespass you. The police didn't. Because they knew that they didn't have a leg to stand on. It would not hold up in court because it wasn't legal.
No.
It was like, well, but they would the police would escort you off the property on the basis of, well, this is a private business.
Interesting.
But then you get outside and they say, now, don't do it again. Get in your car and get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we're out here, by the way.
Yeah, they had no leg to stand on.
Well, for people that are kind of, You know, they saw this and thought, well, this is a one-off. I think we're pretty clear now that this was just a, you know, kind of a dry run. Definitely not a one-off. I don't know, what would you, like, of the things that you've participated in or read or written, I mean, what would you have them do first to get educated? If they're, it's like, oh my gosh, this finally kind of puts, like, makes this make sense. So
I know.
Where's
I
the
know.
Next step?
I know. I hate to be self-serving. I mean,
no.
People really
I think
need
your
to buy one
book
of my
is
books.
A good idea, but, you know.
Yeah. If you don't read a book, then start reading some of the articles on technocracy.news and get in, you know, get up to speed. It doesn't take long. You just have to be willing to face the facts where they are. The bigger question is what you're going to do about it. I'm going to say there's two things. One is get active locally. Don't just sit down and do nothing.
Right.
You have to do something. Get up and get out. Start talking to your neighbors. Talk to friends. I don't care if they like you or not. You say, we're going to talk. We need to talk. Get down to your city council. Get to know the people that are running your city and setting policies and stuff. City manager is a good one to start with, too. Secondly, you should probably take some evasive actions yourself to be prepared for self-defense, for instance. Properly trained to be, you know, able to defend yourself. You should certainly take some precautions to have emergency store, you know, like food and money, perhaps. It'd be a huge war on cash right now. So, you know, those kinds of things in moderation are just a very smart thing to do right now. Many of us cannot escape the city. It's a nice thought, you know, I'm going to go out and live in a commune somewhere in the middle of New Mexico. This is a great thought, but it ain't going to happen for most people. And in America today, I think they say 60% of all American families don't have enough savings to take care of even a $1,000 emergency. You know, people are pretty much where they are right now. They're going to stay there. But you can do a lot of things to take care of yourself, meet your neighbors, get to know them now before anything ever hits the fan, and figure out ways to take care of each other. That's what we're going to have to do. And, you know, there's hope. There's some hope in that. I got to go back to New York City when the lights went out many years ago. People outside of New York City thought, oh, no, this is the end of the world for the United States. New York's going to kill itself completely. There's going to be, you know, guns, people get shot. You know what? People came out because there's no electricity. They came out the street. And I said, gee, I have neighbors, you know. Oh, hey, I haven't seen you in 3 years. And all of a sudden, they're hugging each other, and they're, you know, they're helping each other, and they're laughing, and they're having a good time, making human connections again with each other. And it was a wonderful thing. Of course, New York fell back into disrepair shortly after the power came back on.
Ran back in the lock.
It was a fleeting experiment.
No, you're absolutely right, though. In a lot of these big cities, I lived in San Francisco for a few years, and I can tell you, you didn't know your next door neighbor. They would drive in after work, and the garage door would go down, and you never saw them. And that's the way they wanted it. And you go to some of these most rural communities, and you know your neighbors. If you don't know them personally, at least you know.
Well, just from a security standpoint, you know, you should know who belongs there and who doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. What they drive and, you know, that sort of thing.
I understand the idea that you don't know who lives in your neighborhood. But
yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, but now's the time to get connected again. And the powers that be right now in the technocracy world want us to be divided. They want us to be isolated. They want us to be devoid of human relationships as much as possible.
And they'd like us to dislike each other a lot and be suspicious.
Yep. Yeah, the whole turn in your neighbor if you see them stockpiling food. Remember that? That was going around for a while.
If they went to Costco.
Yeah. Oh, my neighbor's stockpiling
food. Maybe that's why they're putting their garage door down when they
call the authorities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a terrorist.
It just doesn't, it's not stopping anytime soon, but yeah, your book, Technocracy Rising, was 2015. I thought it was older than that, but 2015. It's a very, very good book. It's a quick read. We have a link to it on the site. We've had it on there forever under our We Recommend tab because it's a major heads up for people. I think it's important to know what you're looking at. Like, because of all the education I gotten from you, when Fauci showed up and all this stuff started, I was like, oh, It's the technocrats.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying. A lot of people couldn't figure out what was happening, and God bless them, but it was bad.
Yeah.
Mr. Patrick Wood.
More people waking up.
Oh, yeah.
I think they are, too, and your material is pivotal at technocracy.news, www.technocracy.news. We have those all linked up. Our guest has been Patrick Wood this hour, and we hope to have him back sooner than 5 years. And you can find all his previous programs and all the stuff we've got for you at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.